Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, March 18th. We're back with you. Today is Wednesday. And, of course, I'm joined by Jen.
Yeah, that's me.
Who's here this morning. You got your contacts out today, right?
I don't wear contacts. You don't? These are fake glasses.
Oh, they're fake glasses.
Yeah, I have perfect vision.
Fake glasses.
They are.
I mean, I'm dying to get rid of mine.
Fake.
And there you are.
They're plastic as plastic can be.
Oh, wow. So just for the look, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes I just feel like keeping them on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show. We're also joined by Liz Rodriguez. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Good morning.
Hey.
And Liz is a publicist who is a friend of the show. She sends us great guests and everything. And today she's the guest. Usually you don't even want to be on the microphone when your clients are here.
I know, but today is a different... We're in odd circumstances.
Right.
Everywhere around the world again.
Yeah. We're in odd circumstances.
Right. So you had some free time. You offered to come in. And
I love being here anyway. So it's kind of interesting being the other side.
Very nice. Well, we're glad you're here. We'll have some cool conversations.
You've got a great sunny energy just beaming out of you. It's amazing.
Yeah, she's always full of energy.
I love it.
So are you from England, from the UK?
I am from England, from the UK.
How long have you been here?
Actually, it's 2020, right? Yeah, so in April, mm-hmm. I'll be 10 years.
Wow.
A decade.
10 years in this area, living in this area where you go live from.
Did you ever come to the US before that?
I visited and had some clients sort of here back in 2004. My first visit to Los Angeles was 2004.
Oh, I see. Okay. Have you been to other places in the country?
Oh, yeah. I've been to New York and Oklahoma and Texas and San Francisco and other places, but only since being in America.
I see.
Like my first trip. No, that's not quite true. My first trip was going through America when I was 18, heading to New Zealand.
Ah.
And we have family there and in Auckland. And I had to go via Dallas. It was the cheapest flight. London, Dallas, then Dallas, Honolulu, and then Honolulu into Auckland.
Wow.
It was a cheap old flight when I was 18. That was a long time.
Wow.
That's a long flight.
That
anyway,
is a really...
Australia is far.
Yeah.
No, it was far, but I was moving there, so it was a bit different. You know, I was planning to stay with my aunt for a long, long time. So.
Yeah.
Oh. So were you living there for a while?
Yeah, for a while in Auckland. Yeah, no, it's
what
beautiful.
Was that? Really?
Yes, beautiful.
Oh, wow. I'm dying to go to Australia and visit, you know?
I know.
Oh, no, Australia is gorgeous. Like, if I didn't live in Los Angeles, I've always said I'd live in Sydney.
Really? Mm.
No, it's beautiful.
I've never been. Have you ever been?
No, never been to Australia.
I've climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge, went to the Opera House. Uh-huh. Darling Harbour is divine. I went into Blue Mountain, the closest I could to the bush when you're a tourist, and doing walkabout. Yeah, it's just, I love traveling anyway. Like, I'm big on international stuff.
Yeah.
Big.
What other places have you been to in the world?
I set up offices in Cape Town in South Africa and
traveled
around all of that.
Wow,
yeah,
I love South Africa.
That's beautiful.
I lived
too.
There for a year, you know, in Johannesburg. So I went to Cape Town, and it's really, South Africans claim it's the most beautiful place in the world. And it is up there, you know.
It's definitely up there. Did you walk Table Mountain?
Yes, of course.
Did you see the mini elephants? It's the oldest descent of an elephant, and I can't remember the name of it. And my son Alexander will kill me because we were recently studying it for evolution. Literally the chapter he's doing right now, AP Biology. But it's one of the longest, and he just sits there, this little creature. Looks like a chipmunk stroke squirrel thing that living in the wild. I'm going mad knowing what the name of it is. But anyway, it's the longest living descent of the elephant. Does not have a trunk. It's just a little thing. It's just DNA. Mm-hmm, it's really cool. And they live up there on Table Mountain. And it's,
How big is it?
Table Mountain?
No, the creature.
Oh, it looks like a chipmunk stroke like this.
So it's tiny.
So small thing, yeah. But if you look at the chart of an elephant, the DNA thing of an elephant, it starts with that.
And then evolved
into the elephant. It's interesting. Can't remember the name of it. Your listeners will know.
DNA is incredible. Okay. We're all so close.
DNA is incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. So you lived there for a year or two
No. I just set up offices there. And you know, this was in 2000. I didn't live there. I stayed there to help set up offices for a client. And what's actually interesting is I lived in Spain at the time. I lived in Marbella. And that year I was working. In the April, I was told to go off for a few months to Cape Town to set up these offices. And when I got there, it was April. Now, bear in mind, I just had an entire winter in Spain.
Mm.
I land thinking, like, packing for summer and completely forgot that actually that part of Africa.
Right. The winter's just starting.
The winter's just starting. And so I say this all the time, I had 1 year of winter.
Yeah.
Like, it was a whole year of winter for me, because by the time I'd got back into Spain, summer had passed and we're already going into autumn. So I had an entire year of winter. It really sucked. I'll never forget it.
Oh my gosh.
What were you doing at the time? What company were you working for that you went to set up offices there?
So I've always done marketing, branding, and PR. Okay. Always. So I have a degree in marketing.
Uh-huh.
International. And so one of the companies that I worked with was a real estate company,
uh-huh,
and out of Spain, and so for many years. And so what they were doing were opening offices all over the world. And one thing that I was positioned to go and set up the marketing and
how cool,
and
brochures and you get and stuff to travel like and
get
stuff.
To travel everywhere, yeah.
Wow, very nice. And you lived in a few places too.
Oh yeah, I've lived in, like, Spain, and obviously in England and New Zealand.
Is there anywhere you haven't been that's on your bucket list?
Yes, I have a few bucket lists. I'd like to do not right now, but I'd like to walk the Great Wall of China.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that'll be an interesting journey
for sure.
I've been to Thailand and done all of the Buddhas and what have you. So I've done all of that. Yeah. I've done
you
all
like
of,
that stuff?
You know, like I found spiritual. It tight. Well, yes, more so than anything else in religious wise. But I think Bangkok was an interesting place. Have you ever been to Bangkok?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's so stinky.
Yeah. Really?
So stinky. Like, you can go down where the rivers and the, you know, the little lakey bits. I say lake, it's not really a lake. They have flower. I've got
the
this
pond.
Vision. No, they're like streams. It's like canals sort of things.
Okay.
They're like canals. If you think about it, like a canal. But they can be quite stinky. There's a lot going on the streets there. A lot of food being cooked on the streets. A lot of activity.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's true, yeah.
That isn't always fresh.
Yeah. You see, I would go crazy with the stinky stuff.
Oh, yeah, very stinky in Bangkok.
My brother told me in China, like Shanghai and stuff stinks too. And he says, knowing you, you'd never last there. So.
Oh, yeah, Bangkok, I couldn't wait to. Honestly, I had about a week in Bangkok, and I couldn't wait to get to Phuket.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, it's a city. Like, it's a proper city, but it's a very much lived in city.
Sure. Much history.
Phuket, on the other hand, is nice.
No, that's a beach. That's an island right there.
Right.
That's gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah. That's not stinky.
I have heard of it. Yeah, I've never been, though.
I know. Didn't they? They had featured it in a couple of movies.
Yeah,
stuff.
I think the Johnny Depp Pirates of the Caribbean stuff was shot there, wasn't it?
Oh, is that
I feel like it was. I don't know. Like, I'm not bringing up IMDb right now, but
yeah,
I feel like they, some stuff like that was shot in Thailand and off the coast of different of the islands.
Yeah.
Singapore is beautiful. That's not smelly, and yet that's incredibly clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very like, incredibly clean.
Oh, yeah, you can't drop litter or anything.
I love that. Yeah. I'm coming from New York, so
there's
the litter opposite. Everywhere. Yeah, also very smelly.
Oh no, but Bangkok is. Imagine, no, that's like the
I know
stench
it's different,
is,
but
yeah, the stench is old London.
Yeah, New York's kind of the middle ground between that and somewhere like here.
Yeah.
I feel like when I was in Bangkok, I felt like. I mean, I don't know what it's like right now, but when I was there, it definitely had a stench that reminded me of the type of smell that you would smell when Sherlock Holmes was alive.
when Sherlock Holmes was alive.
When people were like bathing in like a tub, like the whole family.
In the street.
Yeah.
And the rats just, like, in the were river. Running around. And,
yeah. Oh my God. I always think about that. Those back in the days when families, I'm like, I'm the youngest of five. Yeah. I'd be the one bathing in everyone's dirty water.
To be fair, I was the other way around in my house. In my house, I got the bath water first.
Okay. You're the baby?
My two brothers got the remnants. And after a while, they used to, you know, get sick of, why have I got to be in her bathwater?
Yeah, that's true.
Why can't I have fresh?
So you grew up in London?
Yeah, in England, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know in England.
Oh, yeah, it's in London, just on the outskirts of London.
Really?
Richmond upon Thames.
Yeah.
It's in Surrey. So, it's very a nice, nice area.
What was it like growing up in England?
In the 70s?
Yes.
I think one of my earliest memories was the Silver Jubilee for the Queen in 1977. Uh-huh. I'm really showing my age now.
Wow. We're all getting up there. It's fine.
That was one of my earliest memories with space hoppers. Remember the space hoppers that we would, like the orange space hoppers, you hold its ears and you'd bounce around.
Oh, yeah.
Pogo sticks.
You'd sit on it.
No, not the pogo stick. This one looks like a ball.
That's it.
A big ball.
And you hold the thing and you bounce. Okay, yeah.
One of those.
Got it.
It's like it had two ears and you were holding it.
That's right, yeah. It almost looks like the yoga ball, but way bigger. But with a handle.
Yoga ball with handle.
Yeah.
Right.
Why didn't they do that with the yoga ball? I literally would bounce around on that now.
For sure.
It's so good for your butt and your thighs. Yeah.
That's true.
Someone come up with that. Yes, and now they're too small now for me to ride on. But back then, obviously, being a foot high, it was different.
Sure.
And we had street parties to celebrate the Queen and her jubilee.
Do you have siblings, brother? Oh, you did say.
I have two older brothers, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're in England right now.
They're in England too?
Yeah, they're in denial of what's going on. I keep calling and saying, has everyone got toilet paper? Has everyone got what they need?
And they're like, what are you talking about?
They're not panicking.
No, nothing's going. Yeah. They're 2 weeks behind over there.
My boss is from London and her family just flew in Sunday night. And she said no one's freaking out over there.
Nothing.
But she came back with like five suitcases of loo roll and paper towels. So
she did?
Yeah. So
Whoa.
Her house is stocked up.
Why? Because she heard here it was a short supply.
Yeah, because she kept asking me for things and I was sending her pictures and I was like, she's like, can we get tissues? Can we get toilet paper? And I'm like, I'm sending her pictures at ShopRite. I'm sending her pictures, not ShopRite, at Target. I'm sending her pictures at Ralph's. I'm like, and
so
nothing.
She brought right her own Luro?
Yeah.
Well, they do have some at Ralph's right now if anyone's listening and need it.
That's great.
They do literally
Home
have
Depot
some.
Too.
They do.
Yeah, they're saying there's no shortage. It's just people are creating
panicking.
They're
just
know.
Crazy.
It's the chain reaction, you said. Yeah. You know, people are panicking and buying it all, and everyone's like, oh my God, there's not going to be any left for it. The people who aren't panicking. So then,
right. So they go and they
yeah, totally.
I know. Oh, well. Friends of ours have a restaurant here, and since they had to close, they started giving their food to their friends and stuff.
That's
nice.
So, that's cool.
I got like a lot of lamb chops and stuff, which I love, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love lamb chops.
Lamb's
I know.
Good.
And that's pretty expensive too, you
Sorry
know.
Sorry to our is. Vegan listeners right now.
I mean, I am, but I still remember I ate lamb when I was a kid and it was so good.
Oh, with mint sauce.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my best friend in elementary school is Greek Orthodox, and we used to go to the Greek Agora Festival, and they would have lamb, and her mom would make lamb all the time for dinner, and so good.
I know,
yeah,
I love lamb.
I'm a carnivore,
lamb, you know?
I'm sorry. I have to admit, I am
it's
a
okay.
carnivore.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
that LA, it's not cool to be a carnivore, but I truly
well, it's
still
not
am.
About being
it's,
cool.
It's preference.
Eat whatever you want.
It's
you
preference.
Know?
Yeah. Diet is so preference.
I like a little bit of everything.
Exactly, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't have to be like everybody else, you know?
No, that's because you're obviously...
I eat meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're coming from a European area.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, my background is Greek really too because my dad... Yeah, my dad was... born in Greece, so we grew up with that kind of food, you know.
Yeah,
like
Greek.
I love
so
Greece.
Good.
I love Greece.
Oh my gosh!
Greece?
Yeah, I have, but I was very young, so I don't remember much.
Oh, Greece is such but a beautiful.
The spreads they make for dinner are insane. I'd go to my friend's house, and her mom would have like five main dishes, like four sides, three things for dessert, and I'm just like,
oh yeah, that's a proper Mediterranean way of eating.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's just a proper so way to eat food. Yeah. Like I took my.
Let's get a little closer.
Oh,
to the
sorry.
Mic for me.
Okay. Thank I took you. My kid. I thought I projected. I took Alexander over to see to Athens a couple of years ago because he's obsessed with Greek gods.
That's your son?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 12. And so we just, all we did really was just go to museums and eat.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the food. Wow. Yeah. I got him on tzatziki and all sorts. I mean, kids don't normally like that sort of stuff, but he got, yeah, became obsessed with
and
it.
And you never, I never feel sick after I eat food like that. Like, I always feel, like, clean and, like, you know, I mean, I feel, like, a little sick because I've probably eaten too much. Right. But it's not, like, it's not greasy. It's not, like, American food where you're eating, like, burgers and fries and then you
it's just different.
Yeah, you don't feel so gross.
I tell you, that's one thing I did rush out and buy.
Yeah.
Olive oil.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
One thing I definitely rushed out to pick up. It's interesting. Yeah. I did not buy toilet paper because I already had it. But one thing I did make sure I had was a good, solid Italian extra virgin oil.
Olive oil. I know. I started eating that since I was in the hospital. And I eat a lot of salad and I love it, you know.
I like so the cold good. Press because it's got like the olive texture in it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really good.
So, you know, so instead of ranch dressing, I'll make myself... olive oil and stuff.
Yeah, olive oil with some balsamic vinegar, that kind
of
thing.
Not even that, a little bit of salt and stuff because I'm a salt freak.
I like olive oil, lemon, pepper, and garlic.
Yeah, lemon would be good.
Fresh grated garlic, you stink all day.
Oh, that's another thing, I got garlic.
That is good.
I got a ton of garlic.
Yeah.
And I thought if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with olive oil and garlic.
Yeah.
I mean, garlic's great for your immune system for sure. So.
Yeah. But you know, it's like as much as I eat, I make big salads, it doesn't feel you up, you know. So
you gotta,
like,
get that pita bread in there.
I know, right?
It's true.
You gotta get that warm up, that toast up that pita bread, or baguette. Yeah. Ooh,
my roommate
yummy.
Made like my roommate's a French baker, and just been baking all week. He made blueberry muffins yesterday. He made a focaccia.
Oh my god! Why didn't you bring anything in?
A fresh baked.
How rude!
He's hoarding it. He's hoarding it.
How can he hoard it? It's gonna go off.
I know, but it was like 2 feet wide. It was like 3 feet long. It was oiled and salty, and olive oil is so good. Today he's making fresh pretzels. I'm like, man, I'm going to get so fat.
Gosh.
I was like, I just started getting back on the bandwagon.
Get him to shove some garlic in the middle of his bread so when it rises, he's got some cooked garlic. So good.
Yeah,
so good.
That's true. So what kind of food do you like to cook? Is it like British food that you grew up with?
Well, I lived in, obviously, Spain. I lived in Spain.
Right. Right.
And my heritage, I had that 23andMe done at the top of the year. And actually, I am predominantly Spanish.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah. I'm only 23% British. I mean, I was born in England and my family, etc. But, and I was raised in England, very much in the British way. But my DNA is Spanish.
Yeah. And that happens a lot in Europe too, you know.
Yes.
I mean, because people move from one place to another and
for
stuff,
sure.
So.
Yeah, my dad's Spanish though, so I definitely have that, but it was a little bit of an eye opener that I was predominantly Spanish as opposed to, like, I had taken that side of the family's DNA as opposed to my mum's British side of the family. So that was kind of interesting for me. And so for me, I definitely eat fish and chips.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't I?
Sure.
It would be really bad not to and be English.
Yeah.
I definitely love an Indian curry.
Oh, yes.
But not
there's a lot of curry over in England.
Yes.
They eat a lot of Indian food.
What's interesting about that is that the Indian curries that we would know and recognize, they don't actually make in India.
Yeah.
It's like, the there's same no Chinese such thing as too. Chicken tikka masala does not exist anywhere. But it was a dish that was brought, that was made for England.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I love a chicken tikka masala
of
or a madras or anything.
I like,
like
a penang. Penang's my fave.
Ooh, a penang.
Yeah.
Like a little garlic naan. See, me and my garlic, garlic naan. So I would toss around with a little Indian food I'd make. I'm not very good at making Chinese, actually, to be fair. I have tried to do the sweet and sour chicken. My mom can make a mean sweet and sour chicken, but I've not been blessed with that. I made pisto the other day, which is very, very Spanish. Very, it's peppers and onions and garlic and olive oil and the courgettes, or the zucchini I was telling you about earlier. And put that in a massive pot, very healthy. I eat a little of everything.
Yeah.
Truly.
God,
I think
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, let's go out to eat.
I rarely would make a burger or anything like that. I mean, if we're out and about and if Alexander and I are out and about and it's just, you know, what do you want to grab to eat? Okay, well, you know, I've obviously eaten an In-N-Out,
yeah,
and such like, but
I feel like a burger is a mood. Like, it's like you're in a specific mood to have a burger.
Right. Yeah, it's a comfort food type of thing. For sure. Right? It's like you've had the night before and you need to get that grease in you. Right.
Totally. And with like, I like to get like the salad stuff on it, like the lettuce, the tomato.
So you feel like you're being healthy.
I just like the texture. It's the texture thing. It's like the more massive.
Crunch.
Yeah. And
it's like
a bigger sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I love the dripping cheese and all that.
Yeah. You see, that happens when you travel. You buy all this junk food, you know?
When you travel.
That's what happened to me last week.
Car rides.
Car rides or whatever. I mean, you don't have time to start shopping for restaurants, looking for restaurants.
Right,
so
plus
you
need
hungry.
A snack to stay awake.
Exactly. So whatever you see on the side of the road.
Road trip I did, I was like, why am I eating Gushers right now? Like,
what is that?
It's like these little, it's such garbage 90s American food. It's like, have you ever heard of fruit by the foot?
No.
Or fruit roll-ups?
No.
Okay, so it's kind of like... the most processed fruit leather you've ever seen in your life, but rolled into a little ball with like fruit goo gel in the middle. It's completely processed, but they're delicious. It's like candy.
It's basically candy, but it's chewy.
Yeah, it's almost
there's
like
no fruit
gummy.
In it at all, is there?
I think it's like 1% fruit juice, which really, really matters, you know? That 1% is really doing its doing the deed.
It makes it healthy.
You're like, there's juice. It's like fruit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. Yeah, that's the sort of thing that my kid would turn around and say to me, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, you're like 1%. Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Not.
Yeah.
I think when you travel around and you've visited other countries and you've explored... I encourage anyone, obviously not right now in this climate, but anyone that has the opportunity to get out and explore. Like, I think that way you can taste everybody's different culinary.
Right.
It opens your palate too.
Oh yeah, and it's so important to. I think it's really important that before someone settles down and get married and have kids, that they literally spend 10 years. Working or whatever, but traveling as much as they can. Like, because the moment you get married, have kids, that you kind of settle, don't you? Yeah, you've got to be accommodating to the child's educational needs. And
my mom's always said that too. She's like, do all your stuff before you settle down. There's time later, but just in case, you know, you're never promised tomorrow.
Because otherwise you're tied down for 20 years with a kid.
Yeah, for sure. And anything can happen.
For 34 years, that's all I did.
Yeah.
Work and have, you know, be blessed with the opportunity to go and travel into different countries and work. So I think that it's,
And it opens your mind. It opens your tolerance. And I think that's a whole extra level that you get to teach your children as well, you know.
Tolerance is very important.
Yeah, of course.
And understanding different cultures and how they function and how you interact with each culture.
And how different we are.
Oh, for sure. I mean, one of the reasons why for my PR business, I say international is because I literally have done business with every culture.
Sure.
Wow. And it's so important, you know, lots of people say, oh, I do PR for a living. Okay, so but do you know how to interact with the Brits? Do you know how to interact with the Israelis or with the Greeks or the Spanish, like, or the French? Like, do you know how to interact with everybody? Because how we word something is very different. Like how I would word something to one person is very different to how I might word, because I recognize their cultures, their systems, and how they like to be dealt with. You know, I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, me being from the East Coast, it's even very different the way to speak to people in New York and New Jersey, where I'm from, as it is here.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, I've done producer work on both coasts and people definitely don't. It's definitely different here. Yeah, they're a little shocked by sometimes
they're very sensitive.
Yeah, for sure. They say things and everyone's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, I'm not being rude. I'm literally just giving you the baseline.
Oh, I know.
You know,
so it's actually quite funny because at school, you know, back in elementary school, and Alexander's in elementary school, they would hear me tell him off. And I'd say, Alexander, stop that, or something like that. Put that down. Or can you say please, or say thank you, or something like that. And the mom said, oh, he doesn't have to say that. It's okay. And I'm, please don't tell Mike. please don't. Because I, you know, and then I would say something like that. And they'd be like, oh, that was a bit harsh. Yeah. Well, just because I say it in a different accent doesn't mean, like, I'm not being harsh. I'm just, it sounds harsh because of the way that my accent is. It's coming across to some people that are a bit more sensitive to that. But actually, if you hear my mom, then you'd have a heart attack. You know,
of like course, it's, of course.
You're right there, blown away. So it's just, you know, everybody's different. Everyone's unique, but when you go country to country, it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I encourage travel everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Now, so how did you get into publicity, into PR?
So, it was many moons ago.
That's okay. We still want to hear the story.
Yeah, we're here for it.
All right. So many, many years ago, I was doing entertainment as a kid. You know, I like musical theater and stuff like that.
Right.
I had vocal lessons and was a strong singer, etc. And in 98, I released a record that did really well. I went to Cuba, Havana, and filmed. That's another place, by the way. It's really special.
Really?
I went to Cuba and did the music video, etc., etc. But it didn't take off for me. Like, it wasn't something, I was young, but it didn't go anywhere. You know, I had one hit wonder kind of situation. But I did enjoy that side of, you know, the entertainment, the industry, etc. I've always had a fascination and a love. But then I also had to earn money. So I started to work in marketing. And enjoyed it. Did affiliate marketing with Nickelodeon. We brought the Rugrats to England.
Amazing.
Yes, really? I had Rugrats. Yeah, and one of my first gigs in the early 20s, I'm saying now, because obviously I had to go to university and what have you and get through all that stuff, education. But one of the first jobs I did is I had to go into a mall, Bromley Shopping Centre, just outside London, and take the Rugrats on a roadshow. So we had like the Rugrats coming out, because at the time we had cable TV and it was just booming. We were just getting the pipes put in the ground and all the cable systems. People did the more affluent did have a satellite dish and were able to get Americanized sort of TV. But it was new. We're talking about these here. Yeah. So it was kind of very early 90s and it was new. So so I ended up working and doing road shows and promotional activity with the cable. So the channels on the cable. So when Paramount had its own channel originally in England, then there was the Discovery Channel Network where they had Tools and Discovery is one of the first channels that went into the UK, and the Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon. And so in order to promote that, they needed people on the ground. And so I was the person on the ground in the shopping centers coming up with different promotional ideas to get people to sign up to the cable.
Right.
And subscribe. So from that, I moved into mobile phone technology, still all promotion, still people on the ground telling people and promoting in that way. I worked in a nightclub part-time doing...
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, did Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights in Brighton, work in the club scene, promotions again. And then I worked for the cable company for a very, very long time, but I was headhunted to help somebody in Spain. And so I had an interview in Spain from England and got the gig. And then that was that.
Oh, and this was in PR?
Mm-hmm, marketing and branding, public relations. Marketing is the umbrella.
Right.
And then underneath that is your brand, your branding and your public relations.
Advertising and PR and everything.
Exactly. Right, right. But initially, it is the umbrella of marketing, like international marketing.
Right, right.
Like whether it is through different forms of communication, as in public relations. So in around 2000, a production came over to Spain, and my boss at the time had some investment money into this particular movie, some euros, and he wanted me to help with the film premiere and help, you know, keep an eye on what was going on the production and what have yous, and that was it. And then all of a sudden I became a go-to for different TV shows and productions that wanted to be able to film in Spain or locations and one thing or another. And so I ended up getting more business on the side, doing openings and promotions and sort of PR-ish work for productions, for film, than I was able to handle. And so I decided, actually somebody said to me, you need to work for yourself in 2003.
Uh-huh. Yeah, smart move.
And I was like, no, I'm too scared. I've always had a wage. I've always had, you know, I've got a mortgage.
Right.
I have a horse. I've got a dog to take care of and me. It's too scary. But I just ended up taking the plunge and in 2004 established my PR firm.
Wow, congratulations. But
that's incredible.
Yeah, and so I've worked for myself ever since. You know, feast, famine, whatever happens, I've, you know, stayed afloat as
Very
me.
Good. Now, are you concentrating in a certain field that you represent people in, or is it different? Are they in different industries?
So I basically can, you know, market anything.
Right, right.
Because I've worked in so many different sectors, right, from cable, TV, real estate, finance. I've worked in all sorts of different sectors, but here in LA the main business obviously is entertainment, so right, you move where you need to,
right,
you know? I
feel like marketing's kind of,
I morph into any industry that needs me.
It's a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So predominantly right now everyone calls me a publicist. I do PR, but actually I'm way overqualified for that.
Yeah,
I actually am marketing, branding, and
very nice
PR. So I do music and TV and film. I don't do a lot of personal PR.
Right.
I mainly focus on the production,
the project
companies
itself.
I mainly focus on that. Do a lot of film. I work for distributors, film distribution. So I do a lot of critic reviews and getting the word out that way for people.
Very nice.
My own kid is a SAG-AFTRA actor.
Really?
And so I run around with auditions for him. So, yeah.
Amazing.
But I've also done books and worked with Barnes & Noble on road shows and tours with them, and closely for book signings for people.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that if you, like, after 30 years of doing this, it's a long time.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. Just 30 years. Like, I find it really fascinating to see people here that have just decided they're going to do PR. You know,
sure.
They're an actor and they've got a friend, and my friend, she's going to write me a press release and this and that. And I'm like, okay, have fun with that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start somewhere, I guess.
Well, I guess, yeah. It's just that everyone here in LA tries to wear every hat, and I do think that people just need to stick to what they're good at.
Right.
It's true. Yeah. I think it's good to blanket out a little bit because the industry is so different now. You know, like for me, I'm an actor, but now we have platforms to create and produce your own stuff too. So I think it's good to stay in a close knit of the, like almost like a blanket of inner circle of what you're doing.
As an actor, you are able to morph into all sorts of different things anyway.
Sure.
But also as an actor here in LA, I do feel like since being here now for 10 years and watched, you can't just sit and wait for your agent to give you an audition.
No.
You cannot do that.
It's like, almost better not to nowadays.
But you have to create your own content. You have to create your own opportunities,
right,
you know. Exactly. So I think that's another reason why I don't tend to do a lot of personal PR with sort of actors and such like, because, you know, after you go out and do red carpets here and there, like, you actually need to back it up with something
sure
at some point, you know.
Sure.
Write a short film, or do the 48-hour short film competition for film festivals, and grab a friend and do some scene work. And I think it's important that people are creating, actors certainly are creating their own
situation.
Own
and
situation,
stuff, yeah.
Right.
And it's very important, you know. I mean, a lot of people come here and they just sit at home and think it's going to come to them, you know. And
yeah,
it doesn't happen that way, you know. You got to put yourself out
it's
there.
It's true.
You got to stand out, you know. You got to be, you got to
persevere.
Something that, something
you gotta
that
have
other people don't
have.
Yeah.
Got to have
an
a
angle
certain
or,
mindset to be successful in this town.
Right.
I mean, I'll be honest. I have friends who have managers and agents, and I have friends who don't. I'm personally not represented. And all of my friends who have agents and managers tend to sit and wait around because they're technically not allowed to really, like, go on backstage and find their own work or actors access. But my friends who don't have any representation, they're the ones that are going out every week and working because they're able to go out and find work for themselves, you know? So they're not kind of locked into sitting around.
Right. And the other thing is, if you belong to a union, yeah. like recently, just bringing back the reference, my kid was put forward for a nice, massive commercial. But then all of a sudden, the second email came in. Never mind, it's non-union.
Oh.
So yeah. then it was like, oh, well, I don't mind. We can still go for it, you know. Yeah. But no, because if you're in the union. But so there's pros and cons to everything, sure. you know. Like you get a lot of protection, especially right now with what's going on. SAG-AFTRA really being very helpful to all their people. But then in the same instance, you know, you can't. You're locked into sure. only doing that type of gig.
Right. And commercials are so different now because a lot of times they are buyouts. It's not like right. you get the residuals anymore from commercials. So a lot of times they do non-union buyout. So SAG actors are struggling to book gigs like that, you know. So there's almost less work for SAG actors that's right. on a lower scale. So
right.
it's they're kind not of, doing residuals anymore?
Not really. I mean, some commercials are, but a lot of them aren't. They're going more towards buyouts only. Interesting. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing is that we're talking about this and everything. And they're saying here that more than half of the U.S. jobs are at risk because of the situation right now.
Yeah.
More than half. I mean, can you imagine how many people that is that might be out of work? You know, it's really scary. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with this whole thing.
Well, there's definitely going to be some kind of recession. I mean, that's...
Yeah, even a depression, I think, you know. Yeah, the recession's already started, but what's going on in the stock market and everything, that's an indication of what's going to happen, you know. People lost their confidence and...
it's
know,
aimless right know. Now. No yeah. one knows what to do next.
I know. So
what do we think about this coronavirus? Like,
so they're
going to
send. Yeah, well, so they want to send like $1,000 to every person and stuff.
Yeah.
That's like almost $1 trillion, that's you right, know,
I
just
saw
from
that. This morning. Yeah, that's yeah. interesting. I did read that this morning. I don't know. I feel like. Oh, and I also noticed that apparently. Facebook is deleting all the fake news about the coronavirus.
I don't know if it's fake. I mean, they were deleting, everybody said they were deleting everything about the coronavirus, like that it was some kind of an error or something. I don't know what was going on there.
I didn't hear
about
that.
A lot of people were complaining about that, so I don't know, but...
It's so convoluted at this point.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't know if it's better than we think or worse than we think.
There is one person that I did read somewhere... that there are a couple of cases actually here locally
mm-hmm.
in right. sort of Studio City, Sherman Oaks, Encino,
really?
Northridge area right. in the valley. I did read that there are a few cases
right.
of it, but like one or two. Right. I don't know if the numbers have increased anything.
Right. I hope these people stay home, man, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there was that guy you said, where is he from? You told me about yesterday who checked himself out of the hospital. He was positive right. for
in
corona.
Kentucky.
Yeah, in yeah. Kentucky, and he was refusing to stay quarantined, so they had to have police surround his house.
yeah.
That's intense, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. Imagine how many of those there must be out there.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
And also people like, I don't know if you saw that Idris Elba, the British actor.
Right.
She's positive.
He's positive, but when he went on, did his Facebook... his Instagram live, he didn't look sick. Like he
right.
he just looked like we could be a carrier mm-hmm. and not show symptoms, which is actually really scary.
Right.
Right.
They said that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson have improved.
Oh yeah, they've checked out apparently. They were in quarantine on their own now.
Right.
Wow.
So
but I mean who knows? Any one of us could be
right.
a carrier, but not giving any signs of when there's no testing, like when there's hardly any of these tests around
right.
to be able to
they're working on that, but still
yeah I know
in
yeah.
Denver they're doing drive-through tests where they right. have like you know when you go to concerts and they have the little tent set up for emergency care.
Oh yeah,
they have those kind of roadside in Denver right now. People can just drive up and get a test real quick.
Yeah, that's what they suggested.
I think everyone should have everyone eventually should just have one of these tests at home, period.
Right.
Like a home kit.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like the 23andMe, you get sent a packet. I think everyone should be sent a coronavirus test kit into every home, period, like going forward.
Right.
Because obviously this is something just like, this is something that's going to be with our community and within our lives for a long, long time. I don't think it's ever going to be eradicated. We can contain it. I think it's always going to be around, just like the flu and the cold.
Yeah, because we're quarantined, but we're not quarantined enough. People are still at the grocery stores together and, you know, in right. rooms like this together. And,
right.
you know, it would really have to be a true lockdown to put a halt to it.
But even so, like this season right now, when the winds are blowing and it's been so rainy here in LA, you know, a sniffle, a cold, you know, it has been flu season throughout the whole of this. You know, I realize the coronavirus is different. It attacks the lungs, etc. But, you know, even the flu we've come to live with, and you know, our body,
and there's more deaths and cases of the flu
right.
than of coronavirus.
And nobody,
by
no one quarantines themselves when they got the flu. They still turn up and go into work because that's they're worried true. They're not going to get sick pay. So this is sure. no different right. in that respect. For me personally, I feel like the difference is that it's attacking in a different way. It's much more dangerous than the flu per se.
It's more contagious too.
Yeah,
you know?
More contagious.
So they're trying to contain it, and that's why they're doing lockdowns and you know, shelter in place and all that stuff.
But are you not? You guys? I mean, there's. I was reading that some places in Europe are coming up with a vaccine and right. what have you.
Well, they're thinking about that. I mean, all over the world, people are trying to come up with a vaccine. And eventually, they probably will. But the question is, how bad are we going to get before things improve? You
yeah.
know?
I'm more concerned for just the people who are at high risk of you know, fatalities with that. That's my only concern. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm asthmatic, so if I get it, I have like an 11% chance of dying. I'm not that worried about that, you know, but I'm more concerned with people who are in the 60 plus club or people who have compromised immune systems. Like, that's who right. I'm concerned about, you
know.
Well,
they definitely should be self-quarantined.
Yeah. I agree.
And have people help them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still worried more. I'm worried still more about the economy.
Well, of course. Of course. That's going to be our biggest hit. So
I don't know how people are going to deal with that.
I know.
They don't.
It's a ghost town out there, though.
Yeah. I mean, how are people going to pay their rent, their bills? You know, I mean, my God.
Some credit cards are, credit card companies are actually saying they're deferring payments this month.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but honestly, that's still just building up debt.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. that, you know, someone said, oh, you don't have to pay your rent this month, but you can pay it later. Like, why? You know, right. you have to be able to pay your rent. And otherwise, you just go into debt.
Right.
And it's a spiral. So if you can keep up with everything, you should try and keep up with everything. The problem is everyone spent so much money on hoarding food.
Sure.
And spending more money on bulk buying that
and probably
it's like a few hundred bucks at least, you know.
Right.
And you use up your credit cards and everything, and you know, before you know it, you're deep in debt, and then you emerge on the other side with no job, and you go, how the hell am I going to deal with that?
Well, at least you got food.
Yeah, but for how long?
I guess so.
For how long, you know?
And toilet paper.
Yeah, I know. There's a bunch of videos on TikTok about people saying that they can't stop eating all of their food because they're just bored at home. So they're like blowing through their groceries. Like, I guess I have to go out for more snacks.
Are people allowed to walk and hike and what have you?
I think so, yeah.
You can still hike?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they're not saying you can't leave the house, at least not in L.A., you know, so we can still do that. In other places, you can't, you know.
Yeah,
like
France,
San Francisco,
you can't do anything.
Or San Francisco, you know, they
you can't
leave the
house. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about unless, they can't grocery buy
you? Yeah, you can go grocery shopping
and take
medical,
your dog for a wee?
And medical stuff. Probably.
I hope so. Can you imagine having to have wee pads for your dog just in your house?
Oh yeah, that wouldn't work
like
in my house. I have a Labrador. He's massive. There's he's bigger than, human.
I don't know what the rules are there. You know?
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Well, it's
Let's
fascinating.
Just hope. Yeah, I think somebody said that our mayor said they don't want to lock down the city. So maybe we won't, you know. Because
I think if everyone's sensible, there won't be any need to.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to totally kill the city, you know, if you put it on lockdown. You know, I mean, it's still, at least now you can still see people driving. They probably go to work. Do something.
Just functioning
you know?
A little bit. And, you know, today from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., LAUSD have got 60 hubs where families can grab two meals for the kids.
Oh,
great.
Nice.
7 till 10. One of them is actually at East Valley High School on Vineland and Burbank, where just between those three, for 3 hours in the morning, families can go and you know, get a couple of meals for their kids each day.
That's right. Really great.
Yeah, to help relieve, because they have that nutrition snack anyway at schools. Right. So it's just more like grabbing it to go meal packs.
Right.
So it'd be awful if people were that confined that they couldn't even get these meal packs. Yeah. And obviously the elderly as well are having these like meal packs.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that would be tough, man. But, you know, that there's some places like Burger King now offering free food for the kids to go with the food that you order, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah. So, because there are a lot of kids who only get their food at school.
There are. Yeah. There definitely are. They only get their food at school. And that was one of the things that when we got told on Friday that there was going to be no school on Monday, I'm fortunate to not have to worry about that. Touch wood.
Right.
But there are many families that the children literally only are sane when they are at school.
Right.
They're happiest when they're at school.
That's true. And
because of whatever home life they have or lack of money or whatever they have.
Right.
Their situation or their circumstance here.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people going through a lot of hardship, you know.
For sure.
I don't know, man. And then I was thinking last night, what if we get an earthquake on top of all this shit, you know?
Oh, really? You want to put that out there now?
No, I don't. But
that would be quite the icing on the cake, you know.
Got into my head. What can I do?
Well, that was the cherry right there.
Yeah, you know, but hopefully we won't have that either, you know.
I'm positive that this will pass. I'm definitely positive that come April 30th, the kids will be... I already knew that this 2 weeks were never going to be 2 weeks. They were going to go through spring break. I can't imagine the kids going back to school until April 30th.
Yeah.
Exams and tests that these kids are going to have to take, because you know they have to take state testing.
Right.
I'm wondering what's going to happen with that.
Well, they'll postpone everything, you know. Yeah. I mean, but some people, even the president, are talking about July or August things are going to improve. I don't know how we'll make it.
I really do wish that he didn't say things like that, because, you know, it just adds extra panic, because we don't know. Like,
right.
Sure.
We just don't know. Like in the UK, they're saying it's going to be a year.
Right.
Yeah. And panic and worry is not good for your immune system.
No, that's true. But then if he doesn't say that, then people are going to say, oh, he's lying. You know, he's not telling us the truth.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly. You can't win, you know?
No. I mean, that situation, the president definitely can't win right now, whatever he says and does.
And then you have all the stupid college kids who are going to on spring break, and they're not taking any cautions at all, you know?
Well, college kids are idiots. We all know that.
Yeah, I mean, they're showing the beaches like full of people.
In Florida?
Well, they say people in Florida are the safest right now because the corona doesn't survive in heat.
Really?
That's why I'm wondering, when we start heating up here in LA, that's exactly the thought process, you know, that when we start heating up, like the rain has been, we've had a lot of rain.
It's so cold right now.
Right. But when we start heating up, which we will, I think that's when LA here for sure is going to start seeing an improvement.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
I don't know if that'll help that much, though, you know? I mean, these things stay on surfaces and everything, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I know it's small peanuts to say this, but I also kind of feel bad for, like, the kids whose, like, proms are canceled and, like...
Oh, I know. One of my friend's wedding got canceled.
Yeah, you know, all these milestones. People are, like, you can... It sucks for a wedding, you know? You can reschedule, but, like, kids' proms and stuff. Like, kids are missing out on prom and, like, stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I know it's... Like
they'll
small.
Get to go.
I know, but it sucks, you know.
We all have to deal with this shit.
It's
you
true.
Know?
At least we're not at war.
It's true. Yeah.
We're at
very
war
true.
With coronavirus.
Though it
it's
feels
true.
Like it, though, right?
Yeah,
we're at war with coronavirus
and other people at the grocery stores. I went to Ralph's last night. I was like, why did I even come in here? Yeah, like all the shelves were empty. Basically, if you need like ketchup and mustard and ice cream, the stores are full.
Right.
That's it.
Otherwise,
that's
nothing.
It. You know, I went to get flour for my roommate. I went to four stores and there was no flour.
That's the last thing you're going to find right now.
Yeah.
But Ralph's had just taken a delivery.
Yeah.
And they're stocking up. So on the positive side, get there early.
Yeah,
exactly. Get there early. You know?
Also, if you go to like those the gas stations on like the edges of town, you can get like baking soda and like
milk and stuff
like that. Yeah, bottled water at 7-Eleven. No one's going there for the weird stuff.
True that, yeah. All right, well, we're out of time. Liz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for coming.
We just had a chat.
Yeah, we did.
We just like got together and had a conversation.
Wasn't it nice?
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for offering to join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Braving
anytime.
The storm.
How can people, do you want people to find you on social media or anything?
Sure,
or?
Why not? So my website is emrmedia.com, emrmedia.com.
Okay.
And I'm just, I am Liz Rodriguez.
Okay.
Sounds I am bad. Liz Rodriguez, and that is it, and that's all I am.
Okay, that's all you are.
Perfect.
Look for her there.
Thanks for coming.
You. All right. Thanks,
well, you're welcome back anytime, Liz.
Thank you.
We hope you get through this easily. And
For sure. Yeah. I've fought bigger battles.
For sure.
All right, Jen, and thank you.
See you tomorrow.
For joining us, and we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.